Did you ever think about our ancestors? You know, these songs like y'all just sang, and then, you know, there's one in the hymn book, Throw Out the Lifeline. Those old people that lived generations before us, if they could see the lost people around us now, you reckon they'd condemn us for not reaching out to them any more than we do? Throw out the lifeline. The people back then, well, yeah, they had drunks and thieves and everything back then too, but it wasn't like this. It wasn't like this. And you know what's a shame is those people are not so hard to reach as you think they are. I used to go to the jail, and I very seldom found any resistance whatsoever in the jail. They were glad to sit and listen. They were humbled. You talk to anybody that goes in jails now, and they'll tell you the same thing. It's going to be a shame when we face God, and we didn't even tell them. Didn't even try. Didn't give them a track. Didn't reach out to them in any way. You know, if we really believe what you just sang. Yeah. All right, let's go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. I'm going to read more scripture tonight probably than I'm going to talk, but we'll see here. God does not speak to everyone. God doesn't speak to everyone that thinks he's speaking to him. It's not God. A lot of people hear voices, but it's not God's voice. There's evidence if God speaks to you, changes your life. Nobody's ever had God speak to them, didn't change your life.
True.
I know a lot of people that says God speaks to them, they don't change their life. Anyway, you'll see what I'm talking about here in a little bit, I think. John chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name, when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So they believed in his name when they saw the miracles. But he didn't commit himself unto them. If you look those words up, it's the same words. They believed on him, but he didn't believe on them. Because he knew what was in them. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6. I'll read this short verse. Just listen. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. God would not speak to Saul. He doesn't speak to everybody. He'd speak to David. He'd speak to Nathan. Wouldn't speak to Saul. Luke, there's reasons for that. Luke 5, verse 15, 16. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Didn't matter to him how many people were gathered together to hear him. He wasn't going to talk to them. So God don't speak to everybody. We need to understand God like he is. He was ready and willing to pour out the treasures of his heart to certain ones. Why did he just pick 12? Why did he just have those few? He had 12 that were closer than the multitude. He had friends. And then they had those that were that he wouldn't have any dealings with. But he had the multitudes that followed him. He talked to them. He had the 12 that were closer than the multitude. There were times when he talked to them in special ways. He would gather them together and teach them alone, away from the multitude. He did that often. 3 of the 12 were closer than the rest. Peter, James, and John, in that order. They were closer to him than the rest of the 12 were. One of the three was closer than the other two. John was closer. Jesus revealed things to him that he didn't to the other two, to the other 12, to the multitudes. You know, whenever sitting around the table and he said, one of you will betray me. He told John who it was. The rest of them sat there, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? But John was close enough to, see, Jesus will share things with you. That's how he speaks to you. I'm not talking tonight about an audible voice, an earthly experience. I'm talking about things that God will speak to you. He'll reveal to you. He'll make it known unto you, share with you. There were those that he spoke to. He spoke to a lot of people. He spoke to the multitudes. Mark chapter 2 and verse 13. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. He spake to the 12. Mark chapter 9 verse 35. He sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. So he called the 12. He's taught them. He spake to sinners. Luke chapter 7 verse 48. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. When he said it, she knew it. Good thing he spoke to. He spoke to sinners. But there's still some people he won't speak to. Luke chapter 23, verse 42 and 43. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now y'all know who that was. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. One of the thieves on the cross with him, that were dying with him. He spoke to him. John chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, y'all know this story, don't you? It's the woman caught in adultery. John chapter 8. He lifted up himself. What was he doing? Writing in the sand with a stick. When he lifted up himself, saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Well, they'd all slinked away like a bunch of weasels that they were. Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He spoke to the sick. He spoke to lepers. He spoke to blind and lame. Mark chapter 8 verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, the leper, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 9 verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. What do y'all think about that? Did that man ask for forgiveness? Well, it don't tell us that he did. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. Some of them's drifted so far out there, there ain't no hope for them. If somebody don't pray for them, if somebody don't drag them, carry them, somehow get them to Jesus, ain't no hope for them. Matthew 9, 28. When he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. He spoke to blind. He spoke to dead people. And something now, he'll talk to dead people. The dead hear his voice. You know that, don't you? And the day's coming when all that are in the graves are going to hear his voice. He's going to speak to all of the dead. I wonder what he's going to say. Same thing he said to Lazarus. Come forth. and call you by name.
John chapter 11, verse 43, this is Lazarus. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth.
Well, he'd been dead 4 days. Well, there's a lot of smirks around the crowd, don't you know? He's crazy. What in the world's the matter with this? He's a madman. Well, they wasn't laughing or smirking when Lazarus walked out of the tomb.
Luke 7, verse 14, 15, and he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. This is a coffin, a box with a body in it, dead on a doorknob. I mean, he's dead. He ain't just asleep. He's not just sick. He's not in a coma. He's dead. And they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. That's what happened every time Jesus ran into a funeral or a grave. He spoke to devils. I mean, he does speak to a lot of people. Speaks to the dead. He speaks to devils. Luke 4, verse 33 and 35. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not.
See, Jesus don't want devils telling people he's the Son of God. The redeemed of the Lord should say so, and everybody else ought to keep their mouth shut, especially devils. It does no honor to God. Then when that woman was chasing Paul and them and saying, These are the men of the great God, and they have the way of salvation and all that, and he made her shut up. We don't need your testimony. And we don't need what's going on nowadays. We don't need people that living in continual habitual open sin and immorality telling others about Jesus and how he loves them. Somebody needs to rebuke him and tell him to shut up.
He spoke to devils. Mark 9 verse 25. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. This is the boy that had a deaf and dumb spirit. This is right after they come down off the Mount of Transfiguration, and the disciples had tried to cast him out and they couldn't. That's quite a story right there. Jesus told that devil to get out, and he got out. He spoke to the wind and the waves. Y'all know that. Y'all know all this. But we need to hear this. I like to hear it over and over. Mark 4, 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. The sea will listen to him. The wind will listen to him. The devils will listen to him and obey. But there's some people who won't. He won't talk to them. There were those he refused to speak to. Herod was one of them. Luke 23, verse 8 and 9. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. Herod was superstitious. He wanted to see some miracle here. Show me something. Jesus wouldn't even answer him. Pilate, Matthew 27, verse 13 and 14, then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word. insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Why won't you answer me? Pilate said, don't you understand that I have the power to, you know, your life's in my hands. He said, you wouldn't have any power at all except it be given you from on high. The chief priests, Matthew 27, verse 12, and when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. You're better off to keep your mouth shut. Sometimes. Many times. Matthew 26, verse 62 and 63, and the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. He wouldn't answer. The woman of Canaan, you remember that? Mm-hmm. He wouldn't speak to her, and then he did speak to her, but it wasn't pleasant what he said. And then finally he spoke to her. This one ended a little different, Matthew 15, verse 22 and 23. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She crieth after us. That just sounds just like church people, don't it? Many who we're told believed in him, he didn't speak to him. There in those verses that I read in the beginning, John chapter 2, verse 23 and 25. He needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. All right, now why were there those he refused to speak to? Well, some he never speaks to, like Herod and Pilate. And others, he doesn't refuse to speak to them, but he avoids any confidence in them as to spiritual truths and things of the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me now? There's a little different reasons that he doesn't speak. But like Herod and Pilate, there was no need in talking to them. I mean, they weren't listening. They were total off the frequency, if you want to call it that. They wouldn't have listened to anything he said. He dare not trust them with his thoughts, his teachings, or his person. He's not safe in their hands. Why wouldn't God speak to somebody? Why does God reveal things to some people and others he doesn't? What was the verse somebody read? Was it you said, read it Sunday, about him revealing things to babes? Yeah. I think that's what you said too, you know, it would make, if you reveal it to the proud and all of that, it'd just make them prouder. It'd do them harm. They would take what was given to them and revealed to them and abuse it and use it to abuse other people. And it would harm their soul. So one reason he doesn't speak is for that right there. He knew what was in them. They were not to be trusted with what he would tell them. You can see that we're reading Revelation. You can see it in the way that he talked to John. You can see it in Paul's writings where Paul said that he saw things that it was not lawful for men to utter. He heard things that were not lawful for men to utter. And he wasn't talking about profanity. He's talking about there was just things that God told him, don't tell that. He told John one time, do not write this down. Some people, John saw it, John heard it, Paul heard it, but everybody else don't get to hear it. It's what he can trust us with. It's what he can give us that'll do us good, that'll help us, that we won't use against him, that we won't abuse, that we won't waste. Yeah. Thank you.
You refrain from talking to people who you don't trust. See, in John chapter 2 there, he didn't trust them people. John chapter 2, yeah. He didn't trust them. Again, in John chapter 6, it was that way too. They believed in some sort of way on him, but it wasn't saving faith. It wasn't the kind of faith that he could put trust in. What about that? You reckon there's anything to that? That faith is two ways with God? Like it is with everybody else? Well, I think so. Salvation is a covenant. It's not just God blessing and bestowing it all on you. That's the message today. Is you don't do nothing. You don't repent. You don't believe. You don't do nothing. You don't even quit sinning. You just stand there or kneel there and God just saves you. And then you're going to heaven no matter what you do. You know, you're not obligated in any way to do anything, not even to forsake your sin. Nowadays, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to worry about the law because that's done away with. What a gospel is that? No, it's a covenant. If you trust him, he's also got to be able to trust you. That puts a whole different light on it. No. You reckon God would speak to somebody he don't trust and tell them things that are important, personal, private, intimate? You think he would share things with them that they're going to use against him? No. We do the same thing. If we don't trust people, the Mexicans always said, tenemos confianza. That means we have, you know, we trust each other. Yeah. We have confidence in one another. That means we have confidence. Those words don't say, well, I trust you. No, it says we trust one another. What is this about the faith of Jesus we're supposed to have? Well, he's supposed to be able to trust us. Simple as that. If he trusts you, he'll tell you things. He'll reveal things with you. He'll share things with you.
Yes.
That other people don't know. Maybe people don't like that. They think you're making something out of yourself. You're not. I'm just telling you just how it is. God is... Some people know more about God than other people do. And there's a reason for that. God don't talk to everybody. He won't say anything to everybody. He won't show you things. He won't reveal things to you. He won't manifest himself to you unless you are trustworthy with what he gives you. You shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, you know, when you do his will.
Right.
That's the only way. If we do his will, we shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. All right. You would only attempt to use his words to their own benefit and fulfilling their selfishness. They would if God spoke to certain people. They simply weren't listening, so he wouldn't waste his breath on them. If you won't listen, God's not going to speak to you. Now, if you're not listening, God's not going to talk to you. God, if you're not listening in church, if you're not listening, if you're not seeking for God, he ain't going to just zap you with lightning or a laser beam and arrest you against your will.
No.
He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Take heed how you hear. Jesus said. He stressed that over and over and over and over. There's a difference in hearing. I hear that out there, but I ain't listening to it. You hear that out there, and maybe you ain't listening to me. One of the two. I'm listening, you know. If I'm listening to God, he'll speak to me. But if I turn my ear away from hearing his word, he will not hear my prayer.
Yes.
And he won't speak to me either. And he ain't going to reveal anything to me. And that's why I don't believe hardly anything at all these modern day prophets and women preachers and everybody else and word of whatever they call it, preaches that God just gave me a word. Everybody gather around so I can give you what God gave me. It's a bunch of junk. God ain't speaking to people like that. He didn't cast pearls before swine. Therefore, his silence before a band of people who were unworthy to receive heavenly things. Yeah. Whose side you on? I mean, look at Jesus standing before Herod, that wretched, evil man, demanding him to do something for him. I've heard about you all over the place. Do something for me here. The Son of God, the Lamb of God standing there. What does he know? He knows everything. About everything. He created the worlds. And here's this wretched man demanding he perform for him. You're not going to say a word to such a person as that. And I'm with Jesus. I don't think he ought to throw such pearls before swine. That's what he's talking about.
Yes.
Pearls are things you got from suffering and pain long endured. The things God has taught you, revealed to you, given you in your soul, and you share them with somebody that don't even care about God, don't understand a thing about God, and really resents God and hates Him. No, you shouldn't do that. And some of them might be church people that sit in church. They despise it. They'll trample them under your feet. What cost you so much? What is so dear to you? What has saved your life? And you try to offer it to them or show it to them and they spit on it. Jesus didn't do that. He still don't do that. You don't want the things of God? You're not interested? Go on. Just go on your own way. Keep listening to your music. Keep listening to your worldly counselors.
Yeah.
God ain't going to speak to you. He knew that what he said to them would be abused and misrepresented and treated carelessly. Treated carelessly. How do you handle these holy things of God that you understand, that God reveals to you? Or does he? Do you have anything? Does God do that with you? Or is all you ever get what you get from somebody else? Off of a tape, off the internet, off of whatever. Whatever pipe it's coming out of from the world out there. Is that all you get? Or does God speak to your heart? Does God ever show you things? Well, he set an example for us, Jesus did, that truth doesn't require that we tell all that we know to everyone we meet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Jesus didn't do it. What could he have said to Herod? If he would have said, Herod, King, your honor, I am the Son of God. I came to take away the sin of the world. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to ascend back to heaven, and I'm coming again. What do you think Herod would have said? Well, yeah, he'd have made a mockery of him. The difference when Paul was before Agrippa and Felix is that they were listening. Agrippa listened. Felix listened and he trembled. That's the difference, see? Preach the gospel to every creature. Unto all the world. Teaching it. Yeah. But not everything. You know, people that won't listen. What good do you think it does to stand in a place and preach when nobody will listen? I mean, you know, I appreciate their zeal and all of that, but people that go in the middle of like one of these riots and stand out there with a billboard and preach, you know, now what do you think you're doing? You think Isaiah would do that? You think Jeremiah would do that? Would any prophet ever do that? They went to the person that it mattered, and they told him, "Thus saith the Lord." And their words had power, and they had impact. They didn't waste it on ungodly wretches who would not listen and despised it. That his example explains the cause of some of our most painful experiences in this world. We trusted someone who was untrustworthy. You see, when Jesus speaks to you, when he reveals something to you from his word, he's entrusting you with something.
Yeah.
Truth.
Yeah.
Some specific truth, some light and understanding. He's entrusting you with it. What are you going to do with it?
Right.
Well, that's why people don't hear from him. Not trustworthy. Wouldn't obey it if you understood. Wouldn't change a thing. Some people just live on it, using it to, man. We put our confidence in someone who was unworthy of it. These are the hard things we experience in life. His example explains all of this. We let a Judas into our inner circle of thought and affection. We would have been spared the pain if we had used discernment and held our peace with certain ones. You don't have to tell everything you know.
No.
You know, I think I quoted this verse or tried to the other day, but there's a well. The righteous is a well of wisdom. But men have to draw it out.
Yes.
A fool is known by multitude of words. I've told my kids that so many times. A fool uttereth all his mind. It's not a wise man. A wise man ain't going to be, let me tell you. Anybody that just talks, and they've always got to tell you, you're not going to get nothing there. You got to mine out the riches of wisdom and stuff that somebody has gotten from God when they spoke to, when God spoke to them, when they heard from him. They're not going to make merchandise out of it. Jesus isn't going to talk to people who are just going to make merchandise of what he tells them, like these Word of Life preachers and all that.
Yeah.
That's a farce. It's wickedness.
It is.
God ain't going to tell them stuff so they can make money off of it, so they can control people and manipulate people with it. That ain't what it's for. That ain't how it works. Didn't come from God. We would have been spared the pain if we'd just learned how to be quiet. All right, I just want to ask you something. Does he speak to you? Do you ever hear from him?
Yes.
Or are your prayers just like said to the ceiling and the walls? You know, you just got to answer that for your own self. Do you ever get anything from God? Any real help? I mean, real help that applies to your life? Or do you, when you read your Bible, when you study and think on things, if you do, do you just think of other people? Boy, I don't know who needs that. Is that the way it works? Or does he speak to you about your life and give you answers and instructions and revelation and light? He does that. He does that for some people. For people who will listen. For people who can be trusted with such treasures. Does he commit himself to you? He didn't commit himself to them people. Nope. They said, "We believe in your name." Yes, sir. We've seen him miracles. We know who you are. We've seen him miracles. He didn't commit to them. What does that mean? He didn't commit to them. Well, what does it mean to commit? He didn't promise them nothing. Was he committed to you? I mean, do you really feel like that? Do you really know that in your soul? That he is never going to leave you nor forsake you. Now, we all know the Bible says that, but do we just assume that means me too? Because I'm me. I mean, am I included too? Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things the Bible says that we are not partakers of. There's a lot of things the Bible says that we're not, that we can't necessarily claim for ourselves, even if it is to everybody. You know, you have to be on the right terms with God. He has to commit to you too. Well, that's real salvation. When you really get saved, it's not just you committing to God and you giving your heart to Jesus and all of that. It's Him committing to you too. And He ain't going to do that unless you're real.
That's right.
Unless you're honest, in a good and honest heart before God. You mean business, and this ain't no play game with you. It's a covenant forever. If He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, He's not going to say that to you in your heart and make that scripture real to you until you promise Him the same thing and make it real to Him. Does He trust you with rich spiritual truths and light? Are you worthy of His confidence? Can you be trusted by Him? I don't know about you. Everybody's got to look in their own heart. Well, He's not speaking to you if you can't be trusted by Him. One more thing. Are you close enough to Him to be trusted by Him? Are you close enough to Him? Do you walk with Him? How often do you think of Him? How much is He included in your daily activities? How much do you consider Him about everything you do and plan and buy and involve yourself in and listen to and all that? Well, I just wonder. He doesn't speak to everyone. Does He speak to you? He doesn't wear your ears out talking to you. It's a special thing when God speaks to your heart. We're not talking about audible voice. We're not talking about some kind of supernatural experience. I'm talking about the Word of God. He always speaks to you through the Word of God.
That's right.
Maybe not while you're reading it. You just read it and read it and you hide it in your heart. And He just, a verse just comes up out of nowhere. I don't know how many times in my life that has happened. I wasn't even reading it. I wasn't even thinking about it. I didn't even know that I knew it in my heart and mind. And it would just blah, 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 in my mind. That verse would just come out right there. I just knew it word for word. And I knew what it meant. And I knew what I was supposed to do about it. Well, that's what I'm talking about. That don't happen with everybody. Just get that. Don't happen with everybody. A lot of people sit in church all their life. And like we talked about last week, the best they get is superstitious. They don't ever get any real thing. God don't... He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me that I am His own.
Yes.
So that's an old song. Somebody else knew what I'm talking about here tonight, too. His witness, His Spirit bears witness with my spirit. Sure does. And He said, you don't need that any man, you don't need to ask any man any questions anymore. You don't be wondering about this. I love that. He told the disciples that. He said, basically what He says, one of these days you're going to quit asking all these questions. You ain't going to need to. You're going to understand. The more I study about the life of Jesus, the more I see that He, nobody ever understood what He was talking about.
Yeah.
Nobody ever knew. While He was doing it, Nobody understood. And he knew they didn't. And it was a grief to him. That's why he wept in John 11:35. He didn't weep because Lazarus was dead. And he didn't weep because he was so sad. Goodness sakes. It was because of their unbelief. He groaned in his spirit and said, oh, like he did with the disciples, oh, ye of little faith. How is it that you do not understand? Philip, have I been so long with you? And you still see? That's the way Jesus' ministry was. That's the way about all of us' ministry is too. You preach to people and children and everybody else that don't understand. And then later, they understand. Some of it. All right. Let's bow. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truths we talked about here tonight. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to realize this is true. I pray, Lord, that we'd all have this kind of walk with you where you do speak to us from time to time. And you reveal things to us in our heart and soul. And you impart to us spiritual treasures that enrich us and make us just more happy to be yours. Lord, I pray you'd help those that don't understand this, Lord, to seek your face. And Lord, I pray nobody here would leave this world without understanding what we're talking about here tonight. Just a willing heart, a heart that seeks after God. If you draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. The Word says, and it's true. I pray you'd help us to practice it now in Jesus' name.